Hello, everybody. I'm going to call to order the meeting for Wednesday, July 22nd at Citizens Dock Road. Would you do the roll call, please?
Commissioner Niemer here. Commissioner Schmidt. Secretary Weber.
Present.
Vice Chairman Evans.
Present.
Chairman Shepherd.
I'm here. And we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, thank you everybody for coming. Been having a ghost session today. The Ocean Gold has been out of town. Get that completed. So we're going to move right on to a public comment. Any public comment that's not pertaining to the meet anything on the meeting scheduled for today, we comment on it after the meeting, and we've got 3 minutes.
I made some comments about whether you should have a full charge bookkeeper in the future, and I kind of had some negative comments. But basically, I had some thoughts. Incredible. But where was I going with this? I realize the harbor, you run on a shoestring. I mean, your budget is so small and you have, you know, lots that you do. But then on the other hand, you're a government agency and you're required to have meetings, have minutes, you know, accommodate different requests, everything. And I really, and our harbor master, every other agency, the administrator has a administrative assistant, and I think that that is really lacking in this estate, you know, in this place. And having an administrative assistant makes it so, like, when somebody comes in, they don't get just told, "Oh, the harbor master gone in," you know, that's the end of it. You know, there's maybe you have it, and I just don't know, but there should be a system of taking a message and somebody make sure the message, you know, so and so is in. If the harbor master gets it, and if he is something he needs to follow up on, he can, or if somebody else can deal with it, they can. And it also provides a means that when you have a full charge bookkeeper, she should have an inbox, and what she needs comes to her and goes in that box. But occasionally questions come up, and you have to go to somebody and help get the information. And an administrative assistant is, you know, the kind of person that kind of help that through. And then, like I said, that just the government requirements of all the minutes and everything you're required to do, and then the fact that we have these big grants that you're dealing with, and they don't just fall out of the sky. Our harbor master must be doing something with them, and he needs to be able to meet with people and be able to come and go, you know, and yet still have everything function properly. So I really think it's something you should consider. Also, you know, when things don't get done properly, it reflects badly on the harbor. I think you've seen that sometimes when you've gone out of your little world here that you don't get treated with the respect that you should. You know, I really think that, you know, that you could make a difference in some of these areas. Anyway, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you very much.
Well, my phone was blowing up last night. So I just got to tell you, fellas, it's Weber and Mr. Shepherd. I'd be very careful with the words that you're choosing when you're campaigning, because what you're doing is you're trying to deflect onto me that I'm a problem when I'm the one that's trying to hold you accountable. And with that said, you know, every concern I've raised has been supported by public records, meeting minutes, court filings, and official documents. I welcome disagreement over facts, but I hope this campaign stays focused on issues and not personalities. And in regards to thinking that this harbor is in the brink of turning around, Mr. Weber, the public record speaks a different story. It is not, it, we are a long ways. We are a long ways. After years of serving on the board, the harbor remains without completed 2025 financial audits. The district continues to struggle with basic financial accountability. The public still cannot receive timely and accurate financial reports because the records are in disarray. As someone who taught accounting, Mr. Weber, you should understand that a balanced budget is not optional. Yet the board has repeatedly approved budgets that do not accurately reflect the district's financial condition or provide the transparency taxpayers deserve. This is not simply about accounting, it's about governance. It's about commissioners fulfilling their fiduciary duty to protect public funds and ensure the harbor complies with the law. The harbor continues to face unfinished audits, unanswered public records requests, litigation, questions regarding internal controls, and a loss of public confidence. These are not signs of an organization that's on the brink of turning things around. They are signs of an organization that still requires significant reform. Turning the harbor around begins with honest financial reporting, completed independent audits, balanced budgets, compliance with state and federal law, and a board willing to hold management accountable. The people of this community deserve facts, not campaign slogans. They deserve commissioners who acknowledge problems, address them directly, and restore public trust through accountability rather than promises. Thank you.
Oh, is there any other public comment?
Yeah.
May I say something?
Would you want to wait or? Oh, we're going to have somebody first. Thank you very much. Could you hold on?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I was just wondering what the update is on Wi-Fi.
Justin?
I mean,
this is the public comment with nothing. We're not supposed to comment on it, but and it's not on the agenda, but could you?
I need money.
Need money. We need money.
We've got everything set. Everything's ready to go. I've got a quote. I just need the money to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You want to donate? So, joke. Completely joke. Go ahead online.
So it's Alicia Williams. So I just had forwarded an email to all the board members and to Mike Rademacher, and this is for a resource for board members from the CSDA.net, which is California Special Districts Association. And the one that I forwarded was specifically about board secretary slash clerk. So I don't know how this happened, but the secretary of the board isn't doing the duties that they're supposed to be doing.
Alicia, that's on the agenda for today. Could you bring that public comment on when we discuss the treasurer? Because this is the public comment at the beginning of the meeting that's about, you know, giving
yeah,
us.
This doesn't actually point out treasurer at all. It says secretary clerk. Just look at the email. Okay. I forwarded you guys the email. Some of the resources through this agency are free, but some have a fee. They have like actual programs and little packages that you sign up for and that you get trained. So I'm just pushing you guys towards a authority here where you guys can come into compliance about things that have been complained about repeatedly for years. Regarding like public records acts and stuff like that. The secretary has purview over records. So all this squabbling that's occurring about not getting records from staff and then having records getting like having the scope for Sandy, all of a sudden she decided unilaterally she was going to be in charge of CEPRA. Staff isn't supposed to. It's supposed to be the secretary of the board, which I think is Gerhard, but I honestly don't remember. So I'm just pushing you guys towards that because this is the fastest way to rectify these problems. So I emailed it to you. I have to jump off. I'm sorry, you know, I can't be there, but that's a good resource. If you guys could prioritize this, we could stop listening to the same things getting complained about. It's very tiresome. These are really important transparency laws that you just cannot keep arguing with the public about whether or not it's important or not. It is important by state law. So please come into compliance with that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment? Online, no. Okay, we'll move forward to the consent calendar. Items to be considered are routine to approach by one motion. We're going to approve the minutes of the June 24, 2026 regular meeting. Does anybody on the board have any changes they'd like to make? I'll accept public comment. Public comment. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the minutes of June 24, 2026.
I'll second that motion. Would you want to call vote?
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Chairman Evans?
Aye.
Chairman Shepherd, Vice Chair Evans. Chairman Shepherd.
Aye. Informational presentation from SiteLog discussing potential expansion of the Harbor Solar Array, installation of battery storage, and microgrid potential. So I've had a chance to look at this, so I'll let Mike carry it forward. Let me just kind of preface this. There's been a lot of misinformation out there in the community that our solar installation is not actually saving us money, or that, you know, and for instance, in the summer, we actually paid no electricity bill whatsoever. The solar installation covers 100% of our electricity. And I think Sandy was digging into some of the numbers. I don't know if she's online. She might be able to give us some actual data on the amount of savings or the percentage. Are you there, Sandy? Have you had a chance to look at that?
Let me clear something before you move forward. Mm-hmm. That's not our total electric bill. That's just the meters that they're serving pays 100%.
I think it.
I don't think know, so.
It's our entire bill, isn't it?
Not
always. Oh, it's just that 1 meter.
It's just that 1 meter, okay. Or the 3 meters that they're attached.
Yeah, there's 3 meters that they're attached to.
Though oftentimes we get a credit back, so it does cover.
Some of our bill, but it is, and those are our three biggest meters. Is that correct?
Yes.
The freezers out here is one of them, I know. And that's good. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that it doesn't pair code.
Yeah, and so SiteLogic has given presentations to the county. I think maybe a lot of people have seen it. They've worked with the airport district, the school district, and so they were interested in presenting to our board. Unfortunately, I think that they got kind of caught up with some travel plans. They were attending a conference, so I don't know if they were able to connect online. It was a little bit unclear if they were going to make it or not. Is there anybody here from SiteLogic? I don't see anybody. Yeah, they were doing a conference. I think it's like a state conference for county administrators or something. So we'll put them back on the agenda, but I think it's something worth exploring because there is a tax credit that's expiring at the end of the year. However, talking to Mike Barr, it sounds like it may be renewed for another year, but it would cover 40% of the installation cost. So I know that some of the school district decided not to go forward with this. They did the economics, didn't quite pencil out for them. So we'll have to do our own analysis and see if it really, you know, makes sense for us, but the installation that we do have now has been working pretty well. So we can perhaps build on that, and it could be a cost savings. So
the one thing I commented I had was, is that, you know, the location of them and whether it would benefit the commercial fishing fleet. I think one of the complaints is we are making money on our solar panels, but our fishing fleet isn't reaping some of that benefit. So I talked to Mike, and I think if we could correlate with power for the boats, it softened me up on solar a little bit. I'm not a big one on it, but then the finding out the actual facts of what our solar is doing was a big one for me, and I think we need to get that out and get the exact numbers as to what it is doing for us, and that would help the person. And then the third thing was whether this battery system would prevent the boats from losing power during power outages, or the harbor, actually, not just the boats, but the whole harbor. If that battery storage or whatever would maintain a power source for us when power outages were especially mostly in the wintertime, that it would power the harbor up with this system they're talking about. And those are the three things that I had discussed with Mike about it. So, and I'll move it on to whoever else has anything to say. Go ahead, Dan.
Is this a proposed upgrade include anything with respect to the RV parks?
I know that Mr. Dan had expressed an interest in doing some sort of a microgrid because of the he wants to meter the individual RV spaces, and that would be one mechanism for him to do it. It's a pretty big capital investment, so he's looking into it with his own potential vendors. But
One we're talking about here is for the harbor.
this is for the
I
harbor.
think Dan's asking, is this connected to the RV parks?
The proposal that they have mentioned to me is does not involve the RV parks.
Okay, yeah.
I think Mike, you had called out to Sandy to report on some numbers.
Yeah. Did you have a chance of putting together
I
what?
do have a report here that Christina worked on this morning, and she broke out the kilowatt hours just to give examples. In the winter, we're using about, let me get that number. In the winter, we use about 46,000 kilowatts, but in the months July through November, we have a negative like 40,000. So that's an 80,000 kilowatt variance there. So that's the kind of benefit that we're getting. I don't have the dollar value, but if we just talk, what's our saving in kilowatts? We normally use 40,000 kilowatts in the winter, and in the summer we're getting credit for 40,000. So we're getting about 80,000 kilowatts out of that in the months where we have sun, if that's helpful at all.
Awesome. When you say kilowatts, I think you mean kilowatt hours.
Yes, kilowatt hours,
Yeah.
kWh.
Yeah. And yeah, so the nameplate capacity for our solar installation is approximately 500 kilowatts. And of course, you have to adjust for the weather, the unique installation site, that you're not going to actually get your nameplate capacity. But we're going to put together some numbers in a more formal presentation. We'll have Site Logic come back, and maybe we'll even hear something from Mike Barr, perhaps, but we'll have to just table this because they had some travel issues. She wanted to be here in person, like she was with the county, but
I have a few questions. Before this comes back to the board, I'd like a lot of questions to be answered. Like, how much does it cost the board? Why are we even considering this when we don't have any money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is on the table. We can't afford a bookkeeper, set
Yeah.
some, not others. We can't afford to go forward with construction half the time because we've got to bill first and get reimbursed before we give them money. How are we affording this?
Yeah. Let me just clarify that this would not involve any capital outlay from the harbor. It would be either grant funded, or in some cases, you do a power purchase agreement. And so you have an investor who puts up the money, and then they reduce your electricity cost or give you some offset. So this is, I'm not contemplating any sort of a capital investment for this kind of a project.
The other big question I have is if we don't have rights or access to the solar panels, we can't even clean them. How do we have rights to hook up batteries to them? And
Yeah, I
is
mean,
the inverter okay?
this would have to be something separate. I
So
mean,
this is completely separate from the current panels that are existing because we don't have access to them. And again, my last question is, and my frustration as a commercial fisherman was when those panels were installed, we didn't pay any electricity. Those panels went in. I haven't seen any actual data that shows. I hear these numbers, 46,000 kilowatts in the winter, negative 40,000 in the summer, but I've never seen any actual report published to the board, and I've asked for those reports to the savings offset. And so we didn't pay electricity. The panels went in. The harbor receives the benefit. Then the harbor starts charging the fishermen electricity, so they're getting even more money when the fishermen and the public had to eat $283,000 that Lemus owed us. So there's this Again, if this goes in, the fishermen, why are we paying electricity when we weren't and we have solar now and we're getting these benefits? I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think we need to really we owe you a comprehensive report to really get into the data. And I know, like Sandy mentioned, Sandy and Christina have been working on this. We're hoping to have it for this meeting, but I think before this comes back to the board, we'll have to give you something really comprehensive and detailed so you can see those numbers and make a policy decision. We could always change the way that we conduct business, but I think that's the first step, is to really arm you guys with the information, and staff is working on that. So,
I imagine a lot of these questions can be answered by SiteLogic, unfortunately, that we're unable to attend today.
yeah,
Or to schedule
yeah.
it.
So, I reiterate, we're just kind of tabling this for today, but it's nice to have a discussion and hear people's concerns and answer the question. We had no way of metering the harbor, the boats in the harbor, why they weren't being charged. We were supposed to have it through the satellite, didn't work. And we got some installed. They were improper. They didn't work. And we finally got them working. And that's why the boat started paying for power. And it's kind of happened at a time when the solar panels were kicking in, but it didn't really have. It's my main concern, if we do it any more solar, it's going to have to definitely benefit our fish companies and the commercial fishing fleet. Otherwise, I would not be.
I spoke with Mike previously about this, and one of the things that I had proposed is that we look at the county and the city, because I know they're interested in critical infrastructure with the solar backup. So I'm still interested to see if that's something that they'd like to partner with us to kind of bolster their critical infrastructure. If we ever have a natural disaster where the grid goes down. So moving forward, maybe keep that into consideration, those discussions.
For the refinery report. Yeah, because one of the things is, we have the ice plant, and we could, if there's a power outage or something, potentially provide ice to the community and help with spoilage of food, that kind of stuff. So I think we definitely have a role to play within the overall county emergency response.
Okay, so I did see that. Oh, I'm sorry. You looked at me and
No,
were
I
like
didn't say any public
oh,
comment yet. So
okay, sorry.
I'll allow it. We're tabling this, so we're not really
Because
addressing it
it's
today. That's all right. Hey, listen, I will allow you to speak when the
Thank
time comes, and I appreciate it. Is there anything more for the board?
you. Is there or is there not going to be any electric vehicle charging stations included in this program?
When I talked to her, she mentioned that there is a lot of funding out there. It's something called the NETVI program, if you're familiar with it. And Mike Barr was actually able to get us about $500,000. I don't know if that's Mike, if you're on the line, I don't think that's NEVI funding. I think that's maybe a separate program. It might be NEVI. But so she was looking into that. And I know also just talking to Daniel this past week, he's looking at the car wash area. He wants to maybe He's got some other investors who want to redevelop that, and that'll be part of my CEO report. But that's one location where he was looking at some EV chargers. Apparently, the last time that we had a presentation where we considered Tesla, is very data centric, and apparently there is a little bit of a deficit in Crescent City in terms of the need for charging, and it's mostly occurs during holidays, that kind of thing. So they want to have enough capacity so there's no waiting, at all throughout the entire year. So they were going to put in 12 DC fast chargers. That was, I don't know, it's been a couple of years now, but they wanted to put them in the harbor, and I wasn't going to allow it. yeah. They wouldn't put
So
them anywhere else but inside the harbor parking lot, and I said, no, put them yeah. somewhere else. Yeah, because they wanted to put them under the solar panels in the flood Yeah. basin. But there's definitely enough capacity in terms of transmission, according to Pacific Power when they did an audit for Tesla. So I'm not really sure. We'll probably learn more about it when SiteLogic comes back. But I know Daniel's looking at it, and then Mike Barr has lined up some funding for it. It's just a matter of, yeah, the location and how many you're going to put in, et cetera. Yeah.
Okay, like I said, this is being tabled. We're not
acting on it today, but I'll allow public comment to give some insight into what the public solar panels have done.
So the county did have a presentation on that on last Tuesday, and they couldn't answer any of the questions because it was just informational. And but I invite you all to go to the county website and look at that presentation, because you can formulate questions before they do a presentation. I think this is kind of a waste of time at this point, because you guys got some serious issues going on with the harbor that need to be straightened out. And it is going to be very expensive, and the county, you know, the presentation shows where they wanted to set the battery stations, whatever it is that they're doing, and it's just not conducive at this time. So I invite you guys to please review that presentation through the county. Stop wasting our time here.
Great idea. I love the power thing. Oh man, thank you. But on the other hand, you're talking about funding. Why can't we find somebody, since they do this for houses, they do it for low income, they do it for businesses. We go find somebody who gets paid by Uncle Sam to put the solar panels in and then does it at a cost where they get paid. We don't have to put up in, because we're considered an able harbor. If we don't have a backup system for electricity, we're considered disabled. If we don't have access to fire accesses, we're considered disabled. So we need a list and maybe get together and find the disabled areas that which is affecting us, like power, gasoline, maybe conduits, upgrades, you know, the harbor, and find an agency or somebody outside ourselves, look at it, and maybe they can get us extra money, extra supplies. They could even probably maybe help us downgrade and pay less on fees and stuff, because we're considered disabled, even if you are a harbor. I mean, they do it for houses, they do it for businesses, they do it for corporations, they did it for the US government, they do it for other countries. Why not us, right? It's just an idea. So we just kind of bounce that around. I like to look into it a little bit more. So, you okay?
We're going to. That's
okay,
what we're doing.
Thanks.
We're looking into it. Thank you very much. Any other public comment? Hearing none, we're going
to
move on.
I have to speak about that. Or...
Oh, yeah, that's public comment time to time. You bet you can, Todd.
Thank you very much.
Besides the three beautiful things that they said about me in the papers here, very humbling, I went to the car show in Grants Pass on Saturday at the fairgrounds. It was huge. Two guys in golf cart came up beside me, asked if I'd ever been in the service. Said, yes, sir. Told them I'm 81 now, and 60 years ago, they drafted me in Crescent City. They said, well, we're going to give a veterans plaque out today with all the cars and stuff in this big building over there. Place was packed, standing room only. I was the first one they called, and look at this beautiful award.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I'm not quite so upset being drafted. Another thing, sir, I don't know what words I should say to you, but when you and Richie, when we went up in your office, you told me, I wrote it down and did notes when I got back to my car, the flag over there, the pole over there. You said it was an insurance problem because of the rusted stuff at the bottom. I see an American flag up there. It's already starting to tatter. I mean, how long you had it up there, too? Well, there's always a problem with it. The flag that this gentleman right here, we pulled it here in here one time. I thought they were going to put that at the one I bought.
Yeah, so our maintenance guys had to redo that pole. They were out there with the crane.
They did a good job.
They
said this man right here had it welded and stuff.
Yeah.
And I helped him put the big flag back up. We folded it right. You could do it with one man, but nice when two feed it. That was my flag that was up on the pole.
Yeah.
Ripped to hell. He grabbed it. It's pretty strange, right to this minute. When he grabbed it, he almost ran to his pickup and put it in there. I'm like, what's the problem here?
Yeah.
And we put the flag up. Man, unless you went over and talked to your maintenance man, you said that you had it fixed, which I can see. Like I said, the flag out there is already tattered. Do we get to put my flag on it, the pole?
Yeah, I think the maintenance staff did try to reach out to you. I don't know.
Well, we give them the phone number.
What's that?
We give them Richard's phone number.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to talk to Billy, but I know they were trying to get in contact with you because you had a friend who was going to volunteer with the concrete mix, right?
Well, whoever did the concrete didn't know what they were doing. Didn't want to mention that, but it's honest truth. I just own a
Yeah.
cement. I just own a phony cement truck here. My son worked for Morgan, I don't know, 40 years, 30 years, excuse me. I worked for Johnny Jacobs on Cooper Street when I was a boy. So whoever did it didn't know what they were doing. Sorry to say, whoever the person is did not know anything about it. And no one, I took pictures, I can go get them in my car right now, of the stuff that's wrong. They never did nothing to it. Still rusty and terrible. So whatever your insurance is, you told me, I wrote it down.
Yeah.
It's still a problem right there.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about, but let's get together with Billy because he did.
You want me to go get the pictures? I took the pictures of the people that's passed away there. I've got all kinds of stuff to put in.
Yeah, I mean, we did this whole project really. A lot of it was motivated by your interest and your
Order.
concern.
Well, yeah, because I know the
Yeah,
people.
we're not even on the realm of that
Okay.
subject, but I
Okay.
really appreciate it. I did want to reach out to you. We're looking for a POW flag also. We're really willing to work for you, but we were on a different matter. It was a
Yeah,
solar
okay.
issue, so.
Thanks for letting me show you
You
this.
bet. Thank
Have
you.
a
Thank you,
good
Chuck.
one.
Congratulations on the
Thanks.
flag.
Oops. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that as we extend the same courtesy to somebody else who's speaking off topic.
Exactly.
If you let it happen to one more person, you got to pick up
I
the
got
pieces.
hammered by the plaque and the whole got
Yeah,
caught up
well,
in it, but
like I
we have
said,
to come to reality and
once
we're
you let me
conducting a
talk,
meeting.
you know
And
what you got
thank you
to
very much. Thank you,
say. Thank you,
Trister. Thank you
guys.
very much, Chuck. We appreciate you. Is there anything? Oh okay, that was good. With that, we're going to move on. And I got the staff reporter. If you want that. Yeah. We're going to move on to consider and approve professional services agreement with Community System Solutions for grant management services. Is Mike on here? Or is that good? Are you? Yeah, Mike Barr is here. Do you want to leave it up, Mike? Or, I mean, you can see this is we brought this back a few times now, and you can read the staff report, but essentially, we have a deficit in terms of staff capacity, and fortunately, we do have some funds through from the EIDP grants, and this is going to allocate some of that money. For project management, grant management. Obviously, Mike Barr has been a superstar for the Harbor, and we're looking forward to continuing that relationship. Very successful. He's a very diligent, hard worker. And so, our recommendation is to approve these agreements. Is there anything you want to add to that, Mike?
My only comment is pleased to be here today and that we did add the professional liability as requested. So the contract that is on the agenda includes that for both CSS and for the next agenda item also. And happy to answer any questions anybody may have.
Does the board have any comment? Think we've discussed this. We chose them, so I'll take no board.
My only comment is that while the staff report was thorough and explained what the changes are, I'd appreciate if we return to redlining the document so we can see quickly where the changes have been made, please.
Okay, sure. Public comment on Community System Solutions for Grant Management Services.
Yes.
Of course.
I'd just like to say that Ms. Barr is the best. And I really appreciate the work that he does and help in managing all the stuff that's going on right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? That I'll obtain a motion to approve the professional services of Community System Solutions.
I'll make a motion right now to approve the professional services agreement with CSS for the grant management services for the HUD.
Second that.
We had a discussion, so call the vote, please.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
And Chairman Shepherd?
Aye. Moving on to consider and approve.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. With Kim Lee Horn for project management services, same thing. We've been through this, we chose them. Is there any few more comments from the board at all?
Well, I could echo Ann's comment about wanting to get the actual document in our hands, particularly if there have been changes. And we took a vote on Kimberly Horn a couple weeks ago, a 5-0 vote, and we'll bring it back for some reason. I presume that has to do with Mike sitting down with him negotiating the specifics of that agreement. But then I'd like to have those specifics in our hand.
Yeah,
it's the same agreement that was given out at the last meeting. The only thing that we added was at the request of Commissioner Niemer, and thank you for pointing that out. It was a good change to add professional liability insurance. So that was the only change to the contract. Otherwise, it's exactly the same.
And I did the last meeting thank Anna for bringing that to our attention, because that was very important to have with these management services that we're electing. So is there any nothing from the board more than anything from the public on Kim Lee Horn for project management services? None being heard, can we pull the vote for the final? This will be the final vote for it, isn't it?
Motion.
There's a motion, yeah.
Yeah, I would approve services agreement with Kimberly Harnford, public project management services for the Harbor District.
Second that.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
Chairman Shepherd?
Aye. Okay, moving on to approve release of a request for proposal, RFP, for a consultant to perform construction design services for the new seawall and Citizens Drive.
I'm concerned about this with the chairman. I thought we had Buffalo Nichols involved in all the engineering. Why wasn't this part of that multi-$100,000 contract? And why was it done before?
What little I know, they passed it for NEPA and CEQA, and that's their... The work they did got us to that point. And now, evidently, the actual construction people are going to need a more in-depth design to actually bid on it and complete the whole project. That's my understanding is what this is about. I was a little confused, too, with that same thing. But they only got it to a certain point. And all these points we're coming to is... Just, yeah, it's a step-by-step process, and it's real frustrating, but it's something that I think has to be done.
Could Kimberly Horn be involved in this decision as a project manager?
So to get to your earlier question, so Moffitt Nickel did up to 30% design, and like Rick said, they were instrumental in helping us get through NEPA and CEQA. And so now we have to do more of the nuts and bolts engineering design, looking at the structural members and materials that are going to be required to actually, put the filings in place, and redo the seawall and system stock. So, but I think Mike Barr, if you want to add, since you did this staff report, if you want to kind of give some additional background.
Yeah, hello, commissioners. Again, pleased to be here today. So, yes, we put out an RFP in September of 2023, which was for the initial design services, and that was the phrase that was used in that RFP. Those design services done by Moffitt and Nichols got us to CEQA, NEPA, and to these the construction permits being released, filled in, and submitted to the agencies. So we had been working with Moffitt and Nichols for a while to try to reach an agreement on the 60 and 100 designed as an extension potentially for their contract to bring back to you. As we were working on that, Last week, I was also working with our grant funders on these projects to review exactly where we were at, what contracts were let, what extensions, what additional agreements might be made. And talking with the grant funders, the consensus was that this RFP, our existing one that was out from 2023, is too old to use to put any other services under or add any extensions. So we need to go out for a new RFP. Moffitt and Nickel will hopefully respond to this. Other folks will probably also respond to this. But basically, we've got, because we have that old one, it is old. We need a new one for the exact services that we were requesting, which is getting to the 60 and 100% final design. So the RFP is attached. I will say that thanks to Commissioner Niemer, on my template that we've got from the attorney, we now have that professional services added into the template. So it's also now attached to each of these template agreements that are with the RFP. So happy to answer really any questions, but this RFP is really in, hey, here's for full design, but we'll split it up between 60 and 100 because we don't know exactly what those numbers are going to be when they come in, you know, what the proposals will be, and if we have enough money between the four grants to pay for everything that's needed to be done, but we sure hope that we do.
Mr. Barr? Mike?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Doesn't it make sense to go full bore and do 100%? We don't want to hold up the bidding process with an incomplete engineering service or engineering design.
We'd rather the goal is to get to 100%. Yes, sir.
Yeah, how much is expected the 60% completion to cost?
All we've gotten is one proposal in. 60%, we know we have that much in the budget. The question is, what's 100% going to cost, and do we have that much? All in has ranged, that quote range from 900,000 to 1.2 million, and we've got 770, though we're doing a budget amendment on HMGP. Sandy and I have been working for the last week on those numbers really in depth, and we still have some remaining money there. So, you know, we may have maybe 800,000, 900,000, 950, something like that, available for this to get us to 100%. So that's the other reason to get this out to RFP, so we know exactly what the market's going to charge for these services.
Mike, are you saying that to get 100% construction drawings, it's going to cost a harbor $900 to $1.2 million?
I'm saying that the only quote that we've gotten is in that range. That's one of the reasons to go out for request for a proposal, so we know what folks will bid. So we know what other people will charge, and all people will charge for these services. This is sort of an unknown. Part of the reason to go out for proposal.
Well, I can't remember the gentleman's name from Kinley Horn, who was involved in the previous design engineering process. He came here, gave us a live presentation. I don't remember his name.
It's Jerry.
Jerry?
Jerry, yeah.
Very persuasive guy, very qualified. He supported his proposal. Can he get involved in this process? Shouldn't he be involved in this process?
I have the same question. I think it would be whether he responds to the RFP or not, because I thought the same thing, because he did the 30%, and he would be very, I don't know, maybe, I'm sure he's qualified, but
they could, anybody can respond to this RFP, yes.
Yeah, but we do, you know, we've been talking to them, obviously, and we do feel like they could come in below that quote. Yeah, they've done some value engineering on this project, and you know, we'll have to see. We can't create the future, but and also, just so everyone knows, in order to get these two projects totally complete, we are going to be needing additional funding from MERED. So we have the PIDP 2026 application has been submitted, and I think we applied for the maximum that's like $11 million. So we do need to have additional funding to complete all the construction, but there has been very, very supportive, very encouraging. It's logical that they would continue to fund this project, so we'll see what happens.
I spoke with Jonas. I had a few questions directly for him regarding the contract, the timeline, because I thought they were doing engineering from start to finish on this project. I asked him how much the original contract was for. They completed the original contract, which you're speaking of. It was just the initial contract, 40%, got through permitting, NEPA, CEQA, all that. It's completed. And so what he says is that he's been speaking with Mr. Barr and Mr. Rademacher. He has come in under the $807,000 that is in the staff report, but we need a new RFP. But Moffitt Nickel, I know the exact figure, but in all fairness for the other parties, not to try to undercut them, I'm not going to state that figure in public. If other board members would like to know, I can say that. They still have interest in it, and I'm assuming at some point, I'm hoping we have an actual designated date for interviews and for choosing someone, so this isn't drug out for an extended period of time. And then my last question would be is if Kimley Horn is on a different contract, is there a conflict of interest doing this phase?
So the in this proposal deadline, we have responses to the request. We're going to do a quick turn on August 18th. The goal is to bring this back to the board at your end of your last August meeting with the proposals for you to review. And then Kimley and Horn will have to determine if they're gonna propose to this, what that would look like, and they would have to then talk to you in their presentation, talked about how they would differentiate those roles. Unclear on that answer. Again, that's going to be, are they going to propose and what would that look like?
We should have interviews August 26th, unless we're creating an ad hoc to do this efficiently. And then the following meeting, we would select them September 9th. I'm asking a question.
That would be great. We can do it that fast. That's our goal.
And then is there a scoring matrix already created?
Now we can provide you one. We there is in the RFP there is the questions, the elements, and we have them sort of divided up by percentage on the score.
Okay, I have one final thought here, and that is, it seems like we go through all these milestones, and then it becomes something that's in turnover to Mr. Rademacher to begin negotiating on something that we already voted on at least once already, and possibly again if we have another RFP. Can we design the RFP so it asks all the questions and gets all the answers that you see during all these endless phone call negotiating? Let's just get that up front. And then we don't have to spend 9 months like we did with the RV parts to nitpick and nibble away at what we didn't express at the beginning.
For the last, in the instance of this contract that you just approved with Kimley Horn, it took about a week to get that one done. And sometimes these companies, they have to expend their own legal fees. They're not always interested in doing that until they know that they've been awarded the contract or that they've had a vote of a preliminary approval from the board. So this is a much simpler arrangement than the RV parks. And the RV parks, part of the problem is that we weren't really being offered what we thought was a market rate. So, we took some time to continue to try to solicit other potential developers. That was a lot of that time range. So I don't really think that's going to be a comparable problem in this case. We just did it in 1 week, so I think we'll have a similar time frame for this.
The RFP outlines a lot of what's expected from these companies when it comes to these.
And let's bring this back to the subject is we're just approving the RFP for this. And you're talking about after you choose the individual, then get the final report. But we're just putting the RFP out for today.
And do we have that here?
Yeah, it's not online. It's the RFP.
It's not, it's online.
Yeah, but you can look at it.
I see. Okay. Well, I would hope, I haven't looked it up. I would hope that the RFP covers all the imaginable points of contention and consideration so that we can get the answers to those points and questions,
Like
this
just
month,
that
in this
until they get a
vote, favorable vote.
vote, then they'll put their attorneys on it and do that kind of finalized bid. But for the RFP, we're just putting out an RFP to solicit the contractors to come to us.
Say we're interested.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean it's 61 pages, so it's pretty comprehensive. I mean, if the goal is definitely to eliminate any issues of contention, at least the major deal business points, but
I do have a question. It was 61 pages, so it was a lot to read, and I may have overlooked it. But I know Moffitt-Nichol and probably Kinley-Horn, as Rob Fuch was part of Moffitt-Nichol then, are aware of what documents were part of that initial phase, but should we put all the documents that have been completed thus far as part of this so any other companies know what's already done?
So in our discussions, they've asked for those, that what's been accomplished so far, because that definitely will guide their quote. And so yeah, and we'll put that online as well. But some of the discussions we've already had, we've given those documents to them from up.
Now, we've heard some comments regarding there may be somebody floating around out there that could do it in the 800,000 range. We've heard 900, we've heard 1.2 million. Okay, is there any way that we can tighten up on what we expect to be the maximum that we're going to tolerate as part of the RFP so it kind of guides them into the direction we want them to go, number one? And if that means you're going to toss out certain services or products or other costs to them, we know up front what they're not going to perform.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely sharing our budget restrictions that comes from the MARAD grant, and so I think they're well aware of that. But Moffitt-Nichol, when we first talked to them, they just really weren't able to get into the right ballpark of what we needed. We were hoping to work with them because there'd be continuity that way, but maybe they're going to reevaluate it after this RFP is issued. They've got some competition,
I would like to
so.
clarify that. Jonas was very clear today. They came in well under that number and they asked for a follow-up meeting with both Mr. Barr and you, and they have not yet had that meeting.
Yeah, so when we originally talked to them, it just became clear that it was the district's best interest to have a competitive process and to go out to RFP.
I agree with that, but your
Yeah.
statement once they came over, right? He was very clear. He has come under that number.
Yeah, do you have anything to add, Mike, to that? Are you still on the line, Mike Barr?
Sorry, I was just looking it up. Yeah, that is not how I would characterize their response back to us, Commissioner Niemer, at all, and their documents to us. That's not how I would characterize them. And so, regardless of that, though, we still need to go out with RFP. And this memo that's on your board agenda does have some numbers in it. So if folks are responding to the RFP, they have a ballpark number for to meet with. And I also think this RFP has just a tremendous amount of information that is being requested from any proposer of what they have to what they would have to provide. So they know specifically what needs to get done and what pricing they should put to that.
So yeah, and one of the problems, like Mike mentioned earlier, is that the original RFP has expired. So we really are kind of, compelled to go this route.
Well, all those concerns are valid, I guess. It's a little bit early. I don't want to start negotiating in an RFP before we even have all the offers in. I want to see the offers first, and at that point, we're going to start potentially whittling them down and comparing them with the competition that's up there. At this point, I say we're doing fine with. Let's get the RFP out as soon as possible.
I think that's where I'm going at is that it's the request for proposal is what we're discussing today. I think a lot of this discussion, I like it. Very valid points being made, but those are points going to be made when we're looking at the individuals that file for the RFP. And we're just asking for board approval to put a request for proposal for the consultant to perform construction design services for the new seawall at Phase. That's what we're doing below.
I'll make a motion to approve the release of a request for proposal for a consultant to perform construction design services for the new seawall and Citizens Dock at this time, and getting the RFP out soon as is in our best interest. We need to move forward in a long title set. These questions can be answered.
A second. It'll go out as soon as we vote on it, of course. And I'll go ahead. The board's already talked about it, so I'll go to public comment with it as far as the RFP for the consultant to perform construction design services for the new seawall and Citizens Dock. Hearing none, we'll go poll the vote, please.
Commissioner Niemer?
Aye.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chairman Evans?
Aye.
Chairman Shepard?
Yes. Okay, moving on to...
Thank you, commissioners. We'll get this out.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. Same thing, consider adopt resolution number 2026-14, appointing the district treasurer pursuant to Harbors and Navigation Code section 6071, and authorizing the treasurer to appoint one or more deputy treasurers as permitted by law. There's been a lot of discussion on this. We've heard from council that it's perfectly fine to have the secretary as their treasurer. There's nothing wrong with it. I have intervened in it and said that I want it to be an interim treasurer until we're looking at getting a accountant manager for the grants. And so with that account manager, I believe that that person could take over the treasury role. And we're hoping that happens, within the next month or so. But in the interim, I'm asking for a motion to approve Gerhard Weber as our deputy treasurer.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Any comments before
yeah,
the
motion?
Don't listen to anyone.
Because
that's right.
we're gonna listen to comment, of course.
We've been over this already. This is the second time this has come to the board. I've read the information on the board. So
we're gonna have public comment too.
But this time I'd like to make a motion to approve the appointment of the secretary as a combination of secretary treasurer here or whatever at this point.
And I'll second that motion. So with that, we will listen to not public comment yet. We're going to go to the board first. And so,
well, first, usually the board and the public make comments before motion, so it signifies that you're actually listening and taking input. That proves that you're not listening to any member. I'm speaking with you. This 5-page report says that you can appoint a commissioner as a treasurer, but it doesn't say why you should. It doesn't address any of our accounting issues. It doesn't address our audit delays. It doesn't just strengthen our grant management. It doesn't add any financial staff. It helps nothing. The title change solves nothing. If it's merely, what was the term, honorary, then why isn't staff honorarily charged this? And if a commissioner is now taking this and they're appointing staff to do all the work, are they taking some of the legal responsibility for the staff's work? I mean, there's a ton of questions here, but more importantly, we've said we need an account manager. We have a bookkeeper slot on the organizational chart. There's no job ad out. The staff does all the work for the treasurer. Gerhard is approving deficit budgets. He covered up $10,000 in grant shenanigans last February 2025 by canceling a meeting, and we're going to allow him to be in charge of this?
Yeah, I think you have some of your I wouldn't agree with everything you said, but some of your points I think are valid, and I think that's why we've kind of amended this to be an interim appointment so that we could potentially have some additional voices up to the table that could help out with fiscal management. But
there was no actual information in that report about why it's necessary that a commissioner take this position, or that it's been vacant since Dave Nagus left in March of 25. So it's just suddenly come on to the board, and instead of waiting and hiring somebody that can officially fill the spot, we're going to give somebody the title honorarily,
Well, yeah,
insignificantly.
that's why it's an interim role.
Why?
That's what interim role means.
Why?
Become compliant with Harbor Navigation Code and also board
May I
bylaws.
not care about compliance?
I can say the same to you as it comes to bylaws and this namer. So please don't throw stones.
Bye.
Yeah.
May I speak? Who is
You know, and in the past, and I know the past doesn't mean anything to anyone, but the secretary has been the treasurer.
Yes.
When I the, my first term, and that's the way it was. That's the way it was structured. And but anyways, that being said, we've got staff that's told us that it is completely legitimate to do it. And so, is there any other comments, Dan?
Well, I feel that the Harbor Commission that consists of five members, we all know, a chairman and lesser officers, which are the vice chairman and the secretary. I think the treasurer should be an additional lesser officer on the commission, that we should not be combining these things. I feel the role of the treasurer gives some other commissioner a chance to get involved in the leadership discussions and managing and get up to speed on the role of the commission. That just turning that over to Gerhard, he's already got the secretary position. He doesn't need, and he was a Harvard chairman for a while. So I don't think he needs this additional experience or training or exposure. I think it should go to somebody else. And I think based on past performance and natural ability, the treasurer should be Ann Meemer.
Okay, point taken. And so that's it on the board. Is there any public comment?
Historical practice is not legal authority. One factual point that I think deserves the closest scrutiny is the statement that treasurer duties were simply absorbed into the CEO harbor master position. If the board never formally appointed the harbor master as treasurer under Code 6071, that statement could be challenged because statutory offices are ordinarily created and filled through the procedures required by law, not by internal administrative understanding. In any case, we'll go to the next point. The report argues that because the secretary merely receives the treasurer's report, one person may legally perform both roles. Although that's reasonable interpretation of the statute, what is missing is supporting legal authority. So if your attorney told you, oh, it's okay, where's the legal authority? There's no California appellate decision. There's no attorney general opinion or legislative history specifically approving that interpretation. In regards to Government Code 53226.3, Rademacher says that written confirmation will be obtained. And so he's had a week to work on that written confirmation, but where is it? There is no written confirmation. Lastly, it acknowledges that 6071, let's see, the treasurer, wait, excuse me, the report continues to describe the treasurer position as more honorific and nominal in its actual usage. And then immediately afterward, it acknowledges Navigation Code 6071, which requires the treasurer to receive and safeguard public money, comply with public deposit laws, authorize payments, provide monthly written accountings, take an oath, satisfy faith performance protection requirements. Those are substantial statutory responsibilities. The report itself recognizes that the treasurer remains ultimately responsible. So that makes the characterization of honorific difficult to reconcile with the statutory duties. So you guys go ahead and do what you're going to do because we already know the decision was made before you offered public comment, and that's fine, but expect more paperwork. Thank you.
So I could address that. The reason that it's not difficult to reconcile is because historically, and this doesn't have to be this way, but the way it's been done in the past is that those duties are delegated to deputy treasurer. So it doesn't have to be that way, but that's the way it's been done. There's nothing wrong with doing it that way. But like
You
Commissioner
gotta
Andrews,
look up for
but like Commissioner
699.
Andrews, excuse me, she's, no, please don't interrupt.
Well, he
We didn't
interrupted.
interrupt you, did we?
He's
Did
not
we interrupt
terrible.
you?
Well, not this time. No,
Okay.
Mr. Shepherd.
So, like Commissioner Niemer said, I think she made some good points that there are certain advantages to doing it a different way. And right now, I think we're just trying to get in compliance. There's been something that was overlooked. I mean, there's no question about that. We're trying to correct that. It's just a formality, in my opinion. But you could make it into something bigger if you want to in the future. There's nothing that would stop you from doing that. So.
May I speak?
We got one person at the podium, and then we'll have you up there.
Thank
Or,
you.
sir, you want to
I
go
can
ahead,
hold it.
ma'am. Speak your name and go ahead. 3 minutes. The online.
It's Sandy. As the only
Sandy.
per
Sandy. Okay.
Okay, as the only person who's actually served as the bookkeeper who provides the information to the treasurer, which I've done on many occasions in my 40 years experience, I can tell you from experience and not theory, in every case, it has been a commissioner or board member who has held the treasurer position. It is somewhat honorary because I was always the one that did all the work, gave it to the treasurer, he put his name on it and presented it at the meeting. And in all my experience, that's how it's been done. So, from a practical point of view, that's my experience.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
We ran a process in college. We practiced it every day. What each board member does, what the treasurer does, what the secretary does, what the president do. And basically, that yes, it's true. You can be a secretary and treasurer, but I don't recommend it. The reason why is because secretaries make notes, send letters, make phone calls, greet people, and bring coffee. And the treasurer sits back and they dig into the archive, they dig into the tax bracket, they dig into people outside the agency, which you might want cost from, and they may not have it. Well, if they don't bring it to the meeting. So the secretary gives the treasurer all this information. The treasurer takes it and they go put it in places where it's supposed to be at. Technically, it's not the secretary's responsibility. But on the other hand, if you really got your trust in it, like Sandy says, it's not a bad idea, but you got to separate it between the secretary and the treasurer when you're doing things. So you might give her a notes to do something, but on the other hand, you might have her do something in the Treasury Department consists of what the secretary is doing. They get confused, right? So there's a confusion going on between the two. Proper, improper communications. Here's another one. Is in records, when you put groups together, they always suggest keep everybody separate. It's just wise, because one person just too much responsibility and they get confused between their jobs. Well, I can see it all the time. What job am I holding? Am I holding this or am I holding that at the time? So, secretary, they'll think of treasurer, and I'm a secretary. Well, it's not recommended. But on the other hand, it's not bad if you really want to save money and you really got good credit. Like I said, you got a wonderful person's credit person there. She's really good with numbers. And how do you know the treasurer's not even good with numbers? Right? So there's a lot of if-ifs and a lot of us-ohs and a lot of unquestioned answers in all of it. So it's your guys' decision. Thank you.
Yeah,
I wanted to respond to Sandy. Actually, if anybody listens to us about who would be the treasurer, they would think we have no bigger issues here at the harbor. This is a nothing burger. This has always been ceremonial. And even if I'm the treasurer, I will then tell where we're starting the bookkeeping, Sandy, you present your monthly report. I will see it beforehand, and I will ask her to present it. Can't say it. I will delegate it again. So if you're voting for me to be the treasurer, I will delegate it back. I will see it first, delegate it back, and that fulfills the legal, the arcane legal requirement. That
exactly.
It makes sense. But it's insanity that we are talking about semantics here. Let's vote on this.
I'm getting ready to bring five more attorneys and whatnot in to see if it's legal or not. Maybe they'll see the light. I don't know. Okay.
I think there's a confusion.
Five attorneys.
The role of the ordinance oversight are actually
okay. We have a motion. We have any more comment from the board? I guess we've probably got one.
I presume that the secretary position has a number of enumerated duties and obligations to perform. Certainly, we all know up here at this dais that there are things going wrong with public records requests, compliance with getting the packets out on time, getting the minutes together in a timely manner, and some other, I consider, secretarial duties that are falling short of being performed properly. I kind of agree with our veteran here. Where'd he go? There he is. There's just one of them. He's zooming back here.
There's one from the bandit.
And right here, too.
Oh, right.
There's a bunch of us here. Now, I think it's too much. I congratulate Gerhardt for pulling his papers to run for re-election, but his term of office it ends in December. Why don't we either let the new board, after the December, as a November election, pick the treasurer, or if we're going to make an interim appointment, have it cut off at the end of the current term of office so that the new people have a chance to weigh in on this decision.
Well, if he's not here, he can't be the treasurer.
Well, we know that. But why hand it to him now?
Okay.
If he's going to have to give it up and we have to train somebody else. You know?
Okay.
We have somebody
Rick?
Right here.
Well, point well taken. So.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick?
Speaking about public comment? Or you can't read public comment, but were you talking, you want to chime
in
on
not
the point?
I'm just doing a point of order. Don't we re-elect these officers every year in December?
Yes.
Anyways?
Yes.
So they all kind
exactly.
of...
Exactly. Point well taken. That's what my point was, is that if he's not re-elected as secretary, he won't be the treasurer anymore. So.
Yeah. Well,
anyways,
none of you. Everybody changes in December.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
I would like a timeline placed on when we're hiring, or at least putting out job ads for a position that's actually qualified to do this position?
We've, Mike Barsh talked to everybody in town about account manager, and we can't find anybody. We were really hoping for Caldwell and Bass, but they're too busy. We're going outside the area, and I want it so bad, and I'm pushing for it.
So we have a job ad posted?
Yes, we do. Yeah, there is. And so...
Where?
I don't know. Actually,
no, what Rick's talking about is more the
right.
company that would be doing this accounting management under the PIDP grant. Potentially, they might also be interested in doing this treasurer role. So that's kind of the angle we're going after. And there was an RFP out for that. Unfortunately, like Rick mentioned, we didn't get any respondents. But I know that Mike Barr has been trying to look in the Bay Area and make it a more expansive search. But you know, we would like to have that at least available as an option, and you know, within the next month, I would say.
How is it that we were able to hire Thomas on a dime and Dave appeared magically, and now we need somebody to actually pay attention to the books, and there's $300,000 in grant shenanigan issues and an audit not done, and we can't find somebody?
I mean, I don't know if I would characterize that we got there's employees on a dime. I mean, that we had to hire a recruiter. It was many months of interviews and going through blood there. It wasn't any different than what's happening right now, honestly.
Yeah, they just didn't appear.
2 months.
Okay, 2 months. Well, I think that our pace has only been out a month, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think it's about right.
About a month. So I don't know. You know, I'm just saying we're doing our best. We're really doing our best to try to find somebody to fill that role that could that could take on the treasurer as well.
And the bookkeeper position? Gonna leave it on the back burner.
I don't know anything about the bookkeeper, but I've asked for one, but you know, that's a whole other subject. We're on electing Gerhard Weber as our treasurer, is what we're on right now, and we're working towards getting a person in position that could take on that treasury role. And that's all I can say. That's what I've got.
So the new treasurer will ensure that all reports that have not been issued so far are going to actually be issued?
We don't know. We'll see when we hire them. We'll make that a requirement.
We'll find that out. When we hire, maybe that'll be a requirement for him to look back at all the records.
Yeah.
I think we need to get away from this business as usual approach
and
how the Harbor District is run. We got some excellent quality people up here who can do the job right now. Familiar with Sandy, with everybody on the board, with Mike. Knows what some of the issues are that have been brought forward from the public. She's appeared at every Harbor Commission meeting with a detailed analysis of all of Sandy's financial reports and asked very key questions. You know, we can't just throw away that knowledge, intellect, and experience when it's right here available to us. Let's go that route. Thank you.
You're welcome. No more comment? Public comment?
No. One thing I'm going to say about the 1952 up there, the treasurer, it was William Buckner, Mr. Buckner on Buckner Chevrolet here on Northcrest. He was your treasurer.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. We call the vote, please.
Commissioner Niemer?
No.
Commissioner Schmidt?
No.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Aye.
And Chair Shepherd?
Aye. Consider improvements to Boat Lodge parking management. So anyways, we've had a person that made a comment last meeting, and it's been a problem over there with the trailers coming in and the parking from trucks that are getting on the boats to go fishing with somebody that brought their trailer there, and it makes it impossible once the trailer's parked there and the parking in front of the bay, in front of this bay right here, the trailers can't get out because there's a pipe in there. And so Billy and I have gone through things, and Mike, we looked at it, and we're looking at blocking off the whole which is a parking area now with lines facing the bay this way over at the boat launch, and put no parking. And then there's some I don't think they got that picture in there, but yeah, okay, then on the ocean side there's a line of roadblocks there. It's those concrete roadblocks, and have the truck parking on that side. So that's kind of what we've come up with it. And if there's any other comments that any changes, this is a project we're going to do, and I didn't, you know, it's on the agenda today to discuss it if you have any other ideas. So.
There's an actual layout and design guidelines for boat launching facilities on CDFW's website. It gives specifics and measurables. There's also many resources online that talk about parking lot designs that actually state footage, width, length for all of this, and as well as single vehicles, trailers, if there's an RV with it. So there are real measurables to use, not just we're going to block it off.
Yeah.
I suggest if we're going to paint or do something, we actually invest a few minutes in measuring the parking lot and plugging it into one of these programs to figure out a long-term solution. I understand the season's on right now. If you wanted to, like, 15 feet or a cone that went up, you figure out the real parking specs for our parking lot, but they go from, you know, whether you're working, you park at an angle, was it a 90 degree angle, 60, 45, and 30, there's programs to plug all that in there to figure out the parking lot situation.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, you know, we have a lot of experience in our harbor with what's going to work for our unique situation, but so, I mean, I think we're capable of, you know, implementing this in a way that works, but I think it's still a great idea to use whatever other programs are out there, and thanks for bringing it to our attention.
I think.
Go ahead, Gerhard. Oh.
No, no.
Oh, here. I didn't see you.
No, no, you were first, sir.
All right. I don't even see why we are presented with this.
Mm-hmm.
This is has nothing to do with money. This is one case where you ask too many questions. Whoever's in charge here, make a decision, free it up for the voters to drag in the boat, and don't ask politicians for it. There's plenty of information available, I guess, as far as spacing is concerned on the internet. Make that decision, leave me out of it.
Yeah, I actually thought it was just a staff report that we were going to respond to the problem. I didn't know. Yeah. When we're going to actually bring it to the board, it's not being brought to the board. I guess it's just asking for some suggestions. We've got a great one from Commissioner Niemer. And so I think we can just move on with it. When we did it last week, we just wanted to respond to the public and let them know that we were working on it and we're going to do something about the parking problem there. Maybe what we're going to do here real soon is an interim fix until we can do the measurements and make sure that all is working properly. But anyways, I think we can move on with that, because we're just going to show the public that we were working on something to make it better.
Thank you for addressing the public's issues.
Yeah,
Sometimes,
I think another board member.
No, no problem.
Yeah. Like I said, I just wanted this to be a commissioner report. I was going to report it in my commissioner report, and then it got thrown in the agenda, and I should have told you not to put it on, but I've taken it off.
Yeah, it's just because, you know, sometimes when we do events, people are very vocal about opposition to certain traffic restrictions, and so it is something of, you know, it impacts a lot of people, and so it seemed logical to get some public feedback on this. That was
the point. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We definitely should do it right, like with measurements and everything else like that, so. Anyways, go ahead.
And Ann points out we only have so much real estate to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And as we learned from Dr. Dahan and others, there's a strong preference for pull-through parking. I think we need to have a pull-through for all of these.
They are. They're all pull-throughs, and the problem is the trucks park too close to the front. Brookings has a tremendous parking problem with the trucks because they're all in the restaurants, and they're getting tickets and, things on their windshield. I mean, one. So, it's a problem because a lot of people go fishing with the people who have the boats, and there's a lot of trucks, and there's a lot of trailers, and the trailers and the trucks are not real maneuverable because of the lengths and everything, so... we've got pull-throughs down, so we're good on the pull-throughs. It's just the pull-throughs can't pull out sometimes.
Right, and we need to eliminate, as you are describing, the ones that are preventing.
Blocking the way, that's what we're doing.
And there's a good reason for that.
Okay.
If those trucks parked in that area, they can't back up either. And so they're creating traffic hazards and try to move around. So we've got to avoid the hazard from a legitimate find a parking truck that's pulling through and not have that effort confused or compounded with the truck block in the way, because you're going to have conflict. But I agree with Gerhard. We don't need to have a big blowout.
No, we didn't. Okay, so with that, we're moving on to the communication reports and directions to staff.
I got public comment on that. So yeah, that's the dumbest presentation I've ever seen, because you take a picture of one vehicle, and that's hindering somebody. Don't talk. And so, who creates the agenda? I don't know. What you need to be concerned about is the potholes and the mess that the whole darn road is in. It should be fixed. But what you're concerned about is one truck illegally parked, Mr. Brandmaster. Go figure. And then you put it on the agenda.
Huh.
problem is not the party.
Address them, not me, dude.
Okay, and there's usually several.
That's the board. I'm not the board yet. I'll be there in December, though. You can address
maybe them. He's rebuttaling your comment.
He's addressing me, and he's one. Supposed to address the board.
Okay. All right, what I'm okay. saying, problem is not the boat, truck and trailer parking. It's pulling out. When those vehicles are parked there, there's no room to pull out.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is let's paint the curb red, yep. put a no parking sign up there, and be done with it.
Yep, that's what we're doing. Okay. Wowee. Woo-wee. Okay, now we're going to move on now to commissioners' reports and direction to staff. Dan, what's your report?
Well, a couple things. We hastily appointed a treasurer. Congratulations, Mr. Weber. But we don't have as an interim position. But what is that interim period? Is that part of the package? Is it until December? Is it for 2 more years? The remainder of this year?
The longest it could be until we elect a new secretary. So, but I already told you that we're searching for an account manager that could fulfill that position. And when we interview them, then we're going to put that in part of the job title of what he would be doing. And that's the direction we're taking. That's all I can tell you right now. That's the direction we're going in. It's the best we can do right now. We do not have the money to hire somebody to do it. And we're not even on that. Just what did you do this last week? Would you give a report on some going backwards on our agenda item? That agenda item is over. And you've already stated the fact that you wanted to know what the job title was and who's going to do it. And we're moving on to the communication report, Dan. Please, can we stay on focus on the agenda?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that from you too, sir. As some of us know, some of us were there, others were not. We had a fatality off the harbor last week. I was going to say an old guy, but he's a lot younger than me. Fell out of his boat and got hit by the boat as it spun around and knocked him on the head. Without a life preserver in cold water. And he didn't make it. We had the Coast Guard flying around for over an hour. We had the Coast Guard cutter load in. We had the sheriff and their inflatable. But we had nobody that took a damn interest in getting the boat itself out of the danger zone onto shore where it could be recovered. And I think that's a concern that we need to think about as a harbor commission and district is what do we have available to us to deal with these not so much rescue operations, but removing the obstacle to boating traffic once the individual involved has been recovered. So that's my concern.
So Justin did address that. Do you want to give a report?
Sure. It was brought to my attention that the boat had been secured by a good citizen. Not even a local person. It was a gentleman from Washington who secured the vessel, brought it to my attention because he believed, not being from here, that the Harbor District had authority over that particular area, which was at the foot of Battery Point Lighthouse. Obviously, we do not have jurisdiction over there. He was unaware. So I brought that to the attention of the Sheriff's Department and the Coast Guard, and they worked on a plan to pull the boat out. Sheriff's Department ultimately was the ones responsible to recover the vessel. We secured the truck and trailer belonging to the deceased, and the boat was put back on its trailer and removed.
So we did take an interest in that one. Okay.
Even though that it wasn't on harbor property, a lot of people believe that the Harbor District oversees much more of the water than we actually do. But I had absolutely no problem speaking with every party involved and assisting in organizing and even offered my personal vehicle, my personal trailer, winches, etc. But ultimately, the sheriff's department took care of it.
Very well.
I believe that incident also showed a deficiency in the harbor and the harbor staff itself. While the incident happened outside the jetty, the body was moved across our docks, and there was nobody present from the harbor there. So again, this is showing a lack in either the harbor master being present, being part of this EMS chain of command awareness, like, hey, the Coast Guard, they're going to be bringing a body in. Do you need any coordination, any help? There was none of that.
Okay, I was here when the body was brought. We shut down the camera because we didn't want the public to see that. You know, we didn't want to disgrace the body. So it's not an accurate statement. I was also here the night that that incident happened when the Coast Guard helicopter was circling. So we can talk afterwards. What
it
was it?
Day.
What's that?
It was during the day.
Well, it went into the night. Okay. So
is that your report, Commissioner? Or were you done, Dan? Or is she's commenting on your report? Is that what that was? That was a comment on your report?
As long as she wants to keep talking about what I said, I'm open to it.
Okay.
I'm done.
Is that your commissioner report also? And how about Gerhard?
The only thing, I don't think I've talked about it, but I just wanted to commend all the agencies that were involved in regulating the 4th of July. It takes a lot to change an attitude that has gone on over 30 years to slowly turn it around and make the area or events on 4th of July safer. This is not anything that is only the harbor that's responsible, but all the other agencies, especially supervisors, councilmen, and fire department. They all work in this, and for example, what was mostly impactful for me was the impact of the CHP. We finally had somebody regulating the traffic out of the harbor after the fireworks, and that worked flawlessly. I've heard stories about our own personnel worrying to get even out on the street, even though it's illegal, to help the traffic get going. Those guys did an awesome job and made it extremely easy, painless for everybody to leave the festivities. And so the people were very nice to each other on the 4th of July. Everybody was apparently in a festive mood like we all deserve to be. So thank you.
I'd like to thank you, Gerhard, for the many hours. Incredible. I asked to relieve you, and you stood your ground. So thank you very much for everything you did. John.
Yes, yeah, so I got some questions and comments about the parking situation over there, because that's come up from some other individuals. I think that's a good solution there, and I'd love to see that resolve. It seems to be a safety issue at this point with the vehicles. So yeah, love to see the harbor master just resolve that issue and make sure that we're following all of our CDFW guidelines as far as the parking that comes along. But yeah, other than that, I will be speaking with Mike. I actually have a gentleman that used to work in our maintenance department, and he's brought up a lot of ideas, some of our equipment here in the harbor, of what can be done to kind of get some of this stuff back online. So I'll be working with the harbor master here in the near future and bringing some of those ideas to him to see if they're being acted on, and if not, you know, maybe we can work something out and hopefully get some of this equipment back up and running where I'm at right now.
Yeah, okay. We've addressed them all. I have the flagpole, the parking over, they've been working with it. We work with the maintenance staff almost every day, and it's really amazing what goes on around the harbor. Anyways, that's pretty much what I've done this last week.
Yeah, so the 4th of July, you know, we did double the parking rate, and we were concerned to see how that might affect visitation. And it was down about 5% because of the change, but we actually brought in about twice as much money. So it seems like there wasn't too much difficulty looking at a change in the parking fees. And, you know, it really seemed like it was a more family-friendly environment in the restricted zones. I think everybody's having a really great time. It wasn't very chaotic. And I think the coordination with the CHP at the end of the event was outstanding. We got really good support from them. And that's, I want to give some credit to Justin for reaching out to CHP and coordinating that.
Yes.
Also, in terms of revenue generation, we've been speaking with an investor who's connected to Daniel Dan about the car wash and activating that parcel. We had CDFW out looking at the Coast Guard building to see if they want to lease that. They are paying for mortgage, or they're starting to pay for mortgage, I guess, Christina, I think this month. Okay. Yeah, they're going to be, in the past, they haven't paid for mortgage to the Coast Guard, but they're going to start paying through DAQUA, which is, you know, going to...
Because we just took the building over, and it's final just a week ago, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's been, yeah, a couple weeks.
So now they have to pay more.
Yeah.
They no longer own it.
Right. So they're also interested in the Abalone building because they have four storage containers in town. They could consolidate that to the Abalone building. We also have, of course, a grant that's in the third round now, which I'm really excited that we're kind of in the home stretch. We might get some money for aquaculture, which could be out at the Abalone building. Of course, as I already mentioned about the flagpole, thanks to Rick, you know, for your help with that. And thanks to, you know, Gerhard at the 4th of July, got here. I mean, he put in a lot of time, so I really appreciate that, Gerhard. And then we had a 2x2 meeting with the county. We got our harbor facilities plan approved. I went to the meeting of the Crescent City Downtown Revitalization Strategy that was put on by Arambula Architects, as well as Eric Ware from the city was there. Anyway, that's all I got. Oh, and Jessica did clarify in the chat that there were two separate events that happened with the Coast Guard. So the one that happened in the evening was the one where they didn't recover the body, but the other one that happened during the day, you're correct. But you know, I was here for that. I've been spending a lot of time in this office. So anyway.
Man, Engelbrain donated the rope for the flag out here, and Chuck Williams did the welding. So it was a coordination of fishermen and local vendors. And
Mike, has there been any progress reports on the souvenir sales at the July 4th?
You wonder how much money we made from the.
Yeah.
Do you know, Christina? I think it was a neighborhood of like $50. It wasn't really what we had hoped, but I know that she donated a lot of the, she made some crafts and donated it to the gift shop, but do you know?
It was $65.
$65, yeah. So, but.
What about all the gift cards and other things she collected from local merchants? Is there any scrutiny over where those went?
Yeah, we actually, we had one that was stolen, but we were able to deactivate it before it was used. So we didn't have any losses that I'm aware of during the event. So and we're thinking of maybe having a raffle for those gift cards or doing something to, you know, I don't know, maybe it'd be the next event, or we even talked about doing it at the commission meeting, having a raffle. So I don't know. We'll figure something out. But, yeah, we still have those gift cards and we still have the.
About returning them to the donor.
What's that?
Return them to the donor. I know that Alicia said that if she didn't sell our sweatshirt, she'd bring the sweatshirts back. So maybe we should give the gift card back to the donors.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I prefer.
Okay, we'll move on to the financial report.
Okay. So, you know, I could respond to a number of things that were said earlier. About Mike and I and our finances. They're categorically incorrect things about 10,000 grant shenanigans, 300,000 grant shenanigans. I would say that in June and July, we've spent a lot of time doing grants. That's the last thing about the audit. Everybody talks about reports not being done yet. there's a reason why these reports aren't being done, and it's not because we don't want to get them done. It's because we've got a plan to move forward, this workaround plan that we're working on to bring Cal Muni in. What's happened in just the last week, if I could say, you know, I know people are upset that financials didn't get in this package. Two, three things played into that. Chair Shepherd wanted everything in by Friday, and there was no way I could have done that by Friday. Thought I'd have through the weekend to work on it and then get them out on Monday. I ended up falling ill on Friday afternoon through the weekend, so I wasn't able to do that. Also, during this last 5 days, there's been five different big projects that had deadlines and other things that went on. We've got some big stuff happening with the HMGP grant. We got the quarterly done, so we're going to get in another $100,000 there. We're working on getting an extension so that we can spend the rest of the money that's in that grant. We're also in the middle of a compliance audit on those grants that I audited. And I can tell you specifically, I did an internal audit of the grants. There was no shenanigans. There was some documentation things that need to be corrected, but there's no shenanigans. Telling you all outright, we are good on our grants. So that's HMGP. On the CDAA, some really big things happening there. Between the meeting that we had our meeting. I got back in town from my vacation on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we were here for a meeting. On Thursday, we met the CDAA, had significant movement on that. CDAA is the grant that's going to fund all the tsunami repairs, different from the SB 105, which is the $1 million that we need to do an MOU with the county on. But they play together, those two, because with what we accomplished at the meeting last Thursday and what we're going to accomplish at the meeting this Thursday, which, by the way, we've been doing meetings every Thursday, except for right before 4th of July and right after 4th of July. We've been doing meetings every Thursday to be on top of this CDAA. And what this is going to allow us to do is we're going to be going to the county very shortly here and saying we're now ready to do the MOU and get access to the $1 million and start doing these tsunami repair things. This is huge for the turnaround of what's happening at the harbor. So I want to kind of push back on all the negative stuff that's been said about how we've got bad finances and we're not operationally running well. I'm going to give you a list of really positive things that are happening here. And that's just a couple of them right there. We do have USDA payment coming up and we've got the money to pay that, but we also have USDA on board to help us. Let's talk about insurance in the USDA. Right now we have $181,000 in reserve to pay insurance, to have insurance on the Interboat Basin. We were just able to get Interboat Basin insurance for $25,000. We'll be bringing that to the next meeting. So that means we're going to be able to unreserve that $181,000, and we're now compliant with USDA on the insurance. Huge thing for us. Another example of positive stuff that's happening at the harbor that both Mike and I have been able to make happen. And the next thing, I did talk with the auditor. Our plan back in June was that we'd get the, I was working really hard to make sure that we had the year in 25, 26 done for this meeting. That was the goal. And then we'd have him out and finish the audit for 25 and start working on the audit for 26 and have him do that in August. Had a phone conversation with him on Friday. He's still recuperating from that back injury he has. He's coming into the busy season, so he's not going to be able to do our 25-26 audit in August. He's going to probably have to do that in November or December. I've started working on the state report. I'm just about done. Got one entry left to do on that. That's another deadline thing. That's going to be done here today, tomorrow, this week. So another big report done and off. But what is all this about, this whole grant stuff? The reason why I didn't put out, and I know that some people should think that Christina should just hit the buttons and put out reports. I'm not of that mind. I want to put out good reports. These are reports going out to the public, and I want to make sure it's good, accurate data. So they're doing all the data entry, and I'm doing the reviewing, making sure we got all the grants captured in there, making sure that we have all of the accruals in. It's a year-end report. This is huge because we want to go to Cal Muni here in August and start that process. So we're working towards this this whole plan on where we're going. And this is such positive stuff. You wouldn't think that by everybody who's been talking before me, but this is really good stuff we're seeing here. What else do I have here? State reports done. We went through an inspection work. What was that on Friday? I had an inspection workers' comp inspection, had to get that done. We had a very complicated payroll to get done there on Thursday, you know, because we had that 4th of July with all those people who got, you know, showing up pay and stuff like that. It's very complicated. We had to spend some good time on that on Thursday. The other thing I want to move to, and I want to talk about team, because that's really the big thing that I would reflect back here on what's been happening at the meeting here today. We clearly have a team working now. We've got Mike and I working together on the team. We've got a majority of the board that's on the team. We've got BSD, or now what we want to call CCBV. They're on our team, and that's a really important thing. And not only that, that takes place August 1st, he takes over. So what have we been doing this last 2 weeks? We've been getting all his stuff and getting ready for that turnover. That's a huge turnover. Can you only imagine how much time it takes to make that happen? And we're doing it in 2 weeks. We got to have it done by August 1st. Huge positive thing for us. Let's see. Fashion Blacksmith, we got to get ready to make a payment to him, and we got the money for it. You want to talk about our finances? Everybody's slamming me and Mike about how we're not doing a good job. I wrote down some numbers here. When we started a year ago, it was projected that we were going to have a negative $340,000 deficit. And somebody talked about, you know, we're approving deficit budgets. Sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you have a deficit budget and you have to use reserves. That is not an uncommon thing. And that's what's happening here. We started with a negative 340. Then we went to a negative 253. This year, we're going to a negative 142. And I don't believe in any of those years. And when you see my financial reports that come out at the next meeting, I think you're going to see we're in the positive, not in the negative. So we're going to be able to demonstrate. And I don't give air to negative it. I'm only going to do positive. And I'm going to talk about the team, because you're going to start seeing some financial statements that show that we are making huge strides. So when people want to talk about the harbor is mismanaged, you can't get finance or bad financials and stuff like that, I'm going to put my head down. I'm going to do my job. I'm going to see the reports, and the majority of the board that supports our administration and our staff, you're going to be able to point to it and say, absolutely, that's why we support them, because they're actually doing it and we can prove it. I'm a little concerned about going into elections, because you can see how we've been slammed for the first half hour of this meeting. And I can imagine that the negative stuff's only going to continue. But I think Mike and I are both on board with, we're looking only at the team and giving positive energy going forward. Talking about getting a bookkeeper and having an accounting manager become the treasurer, those are all down the line. I think something that consistently Mike and I have been saying, I believe you have to be lean and mean. And I think there's two things that need to happen. We need to get a maintenance person. And we've done that, I believe. Did we get an acceptance on that maintenance person, Christina?
Still waiting on Mike.
Okay, so we're working. We think we've got that. And then we want to bring somebody in to be a full charge bookkeeper that has the kind of knowledge that I do. And that way you're not paying a lot of money for a high-end CEO to do it, but you got somebody who's actually the worker and getting the work done. I believe those two changes is what gets you to year two and year three. And you're lean and mean. And you're very well organized. And we've done all of those things. People want to talk about financials not being out. You've gotten financials every month for a year. There's no grand jury report out there. We answered all grand jury reports. People want to talk about minutes. You're getting minutes. I'm seeing minutes on every agenda. I'm seeing minutes. So I definitely feel like we're addressing all of those issues. Let me see what else on here. We talked about Alicia, 4th of July. You talk about making $50, but in reality, we spent money to do that whole event. So it's probably a negative $200 is what my analysis said. What else do I have on here? USDA. I think that Ocean Gold, did I mention Ocean Gold? Another team player. Every month, today, we have Mike Barr on our team. He's the king of grants. We now have Kim Lee Horn coming in and doing our PIDP stuff. And just all of these new team players that are coming on board, we are moving. This is a positive direction thing. And I think the public needs to hear that. And that's all I have to say about my financial.
I'm glad you talked about all your financials, but again, you didn't issue the reports. They're due monthly, and it's not just your responsibility. It's the CEO's responsibility and the chair's responsibility, now the treasurer's responsibility, to make sure we're getting these reports every single month. It's a print button that takes Christina 5 minutes to get us all these reports. I asked for them to be here today. This is completely unacceptable that you can't issue reports for June 30th when it's July 22nd. It's not just your job, Sandy. It is the job of staff. And you are our independent consultant to support that. This is completely unacceptable.
So it's not just as simple as hitting a print button, because Sandy has to, once the reports are generated, she has to go through and do some reconciliation. A lot of times there's some misclassification, some data entry errors have to be corrected. So there's a quality control step that has to happen. Unfortunately, Sandy was sick.
Please, I don't need the excuses. It's been weeks, and this isn't hard. And if anyone's done QuickBooks, you know that when you're data entering and you reconcile your bank statements, this isn't complicated rocket science.
Ms. Moreno, in the future, please don't have any unscheduled illnesses that would prevent you from doing that job.
For weeks.
Scheduled illnesses in the future, please.
And vacations, brother.
But relying on one individual for what staff should and used to be able to do.
Absolutely. Again, I would just repeat, you do not put out financials. It's not as simple as that. And as you're not an accountant or a bookkeeper, you may run your business, but I do this for a living, and I would never, ever put out a financial statement without, if I'm going to put my name on it, it's going to be a document that could be no questions asked. Right? I'm going to know it,
aware.
And it's going
to
be done well.
Give us statements because you don't want to, even though our bylaws require it, and the board majority refuses to require you to do it.
Right. You're absolutely right. That was, I really wanted that report because you're talking about cash flow projection, I think. And for me, that's a critical report that I do need to get out because of the two contracts that you guys approved today. Because my concern and what I've been working on in the last 2 months all has to do with how do we gather as much money to be able to fund the starting of the Citizens Dock and the Seawall project before we get CalMuni to try and find us some money or using iBank or whoever. You have to have good financials. Again, a lot of thought is going into this process about how we do this from Mike and I, and how do those reports, the reports we make, fund that or are the basis for all that. It's those are critical reports. You can't just get those out. And I really would have liked to have had the cash flow done because
it's handy.
Let me just interject, please, and then I'll give you a chance. Anna, would you get those reports out as quickly as possible? And maybe we could schedule a special meeting to go over them or something? Or would you please do that? The financial reports as soon as possible.
I would like them at the end of this meeting. It's a print button.
That ain't gonna happen.
I just want to reiterate how important this next financial I put out. It is your year end. It is the one that we want to go forward with CalMuni on. It is certainly my intention. I continue to work on that, but we've got grant deadlines happening. Tomorrow we've got the CDAA thing. We also have the deadline for the HMGP compliance audit. There's a couple things happening right now that I've put priority on this last day or two because it's grant related and those are money. And I believe our priority should be getting the money taken care of. And from that flow, the financials. So we're at a critical point right now.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead, Dan.
Sandy, good news. You've got a new treasurer on board. How can he help you accomplish all the things that you're not able to do? How can Gerhardt, as our treasurer, your boss, help you get your job done?
Yeah, as I spoke before, it's all about team members. We all our team members are on board.
Well, you got a brand new treasurer. What's his job?
Ensuring we get the reports.
Huh?
We are at a critical point right now. We need to make sure this next report that comes out, I would respectfully request the board's support in that those reports come out with the next meeting, not waiting until the regular financial meeting for August, but doing it at our next meeting. Because a lot of things get accomplished in the next 2 weeks.
I would like the current status of our accounts. Today,
I understand what you would like, Andy. I'm asking the board. I'm asking the board to provide me the 2 weeks so that we can bring all of these things that all came with deadlines right now. And in the next week, we have a bunch of deadlines coming together. And there is a plan here that's being put in place. And I would request the board's support.
Yeah. Okay.
Financials.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And with that, we're going to adjourn the meeting.
No public comments. Why isn't there a public comment? It's on the agenda.
Yeah.
The bottom line is that she's obstructing an elected official's fiduciary duty to oversee the numbers. She's not providing them to you. It's excuse after excuse after excuse. Every meeting. It's outrageous. Why would you accept that? And then you have a compliance officer sitting here twiddling his thumbs and he doesn't do anything about it. You got another, you know what? Let's just put it in a real easy way that you can understand. If Trump was in here watching this meeting today, you know what he would say? To Sandy Moreno and to Mike Rademacher, you're fired. That's all I got to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you speak for Trump? Actually,
sure
that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
He probably would. I probably don't doubt that one bit. All right, so then, no, any more public comment? Now that one person got it. Okay. We're going to adjourn the meeting. And we'll have the next meeting Wednesday, August 12th, 2026 at 2 p.m. at the Crescent City Harvest.